Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. It's almost been a year now flying solo. And I'll tell you what, Pastor Ken Keltner, I get a chance to see him every Sunday, and he's chomping at the bit to get back in studio and looking forward to that day. So very seldom on Faith in the Zone do we wait just a couple of months. I think we've had maybe three or four guys that we've had on a second time. 6.5 years, even longer than that now. We've always been able to get new guys, and every once in a while we'll have a couple of guests that we go, man, we didn't finish with that guy. We got to get him back. Or there's something about his skill set that says a couple of months later, we got to bring him back. And our guest for the entire hour, we brought him in because Super Bowl is today. And this man played in two of them. Now, before we started recording, he said, don't bring up that other team. And so I'm not going to bring it up, but if you want to go back and take a look, he played for the Denver Broncos 1 year and the San Diego Chargers the second year, and Pastor Darren Carrington, he is the marriage pastor, associate campus pastor for Rock Church in Point Loma, San Diego, right in that area, Rock Church, and we've had a number of guys on, man. It's always been really, really good. So, Pastor Carrington, welcome, and how you doing today?
I'm doing well, doing well. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah.
I feel honored. Not a lot of guys make it back a second time, so feeling good.
Man, well, I really appreciate your willingness to come on. I really do. And I just thought, you know what, being that Super Bowl Sunday, hey, I'm wondering what it was like. And I don't know, Pastor, when you were playing in the NFL, was there a two-week break like this, or was it the next week that you would go to the Super Bowl?
I remember it being... For some reason, I remember it being 2 weeks because I remember us practicing that first week and then going there that next week. So I remember it, yeah, that 2 weeks.
So, you know, it's interesting because, and this is a whole different level, Pastor, but I was thinking about this driving over to the studio today. You know, I coached basketball 36 years, and I got to six state championships. And I can't tell you a whole lot about the game. You know, we won. I was lucky enough to win six of them. But I can't tell you a whole lot about that final game, but I can tell you the journey, all about the journey to get there. I can tell you, you know, about this kid hitting a three and them taking a timeout and coming out of this defense that we couldn't score against, and they changed up and we hit, you know, we went on a run, and I can tell you all of that stuff. But the championship game, I don't know what it is. I can't tell you a whole lot about it, and I'm wondering – when you're in the NFL, and I know that's a whole different animal, but how much do you remember the journey getting to the Super Bowl?
Well, you definitely remember the journey, right? Because you know, day after, I mean, game after game, that's when you learn to trust one another. That's when you really rely and you really build that bond and that brotherhood. So you remember that journey, but you most definitely remember that last game as well, especially if it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I bet, because that's what, you know what, you play, you know, you play growing up in the park and you play dreaming. And, you know, when you're throwing the football in your yard or in the park by yourself, it's, you know what, there's 3 seconds to go and I'm catching a pass or I'm picking one off or I'm making a tackle, kicking a field goal to win the Super Bowl. And that just amazing to me to be able to do that. So that first year, Pastor, when you were with the Denver Broncos, was there a different feeling for you playing in that first one than there was the second one?
Oh, yes. Excuse me, definitely. Probably the biggest difference was the first one was my rookie year.
Man.
So my very first year in the league is, you know, I reached my childhood dream being a professional athlete, and now I make it to the biggest, you know, like the biggest game there is, and it was just, it really was overwhelming, right, being a rookie and being there. But just remembering, just taking it all in, that's really what it was. It was kind of like, you know, for a while, man, it's like, man, can we just take this in and not even have to play the game, knowing that, you know, we had to play because it was just that good.
Hey, when did you feel like, okay, I'm a rookie and we got here, I'm going to be here a whole bunch of times. I don't know what, you know, what did it feel like, okay, you know what, this isn't as hard as maybe people thought, and I can get here a number of times?
Oh, yes. I mean, definitely when you go the first time. Now, I had, you know, veterans on the team that kind of brought me back down to life and said, hey, this doesn't happen every year, man. It's a blessing every time you get there. And I remember a reporter even said, hey, man, you know how you guys are so blessed. He said, you know, I played in the league for, you know, 13, 14 years, and you know, we made one playoff game, and here you are, rookies. You know, and I think they drafted 13 rookies that year, and I believe about 10 or 11 of us made the team.
Oh, man.
There was a bunch of rookies on the team, and yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm. Hey, who are the veterans and the leaders of that first Super Bowl you went to?
We had John Elway.
Yeah.
I think you guys know him.
Yep.
Dennis Smith. I was Mike Haynes. Let me see. Yeah, Sammy Wilhite. You know, so it was just, you know, we had the three amigos, you know, Vance Johnson, Mark Jackson, and Ricky Natil. You know, so we had, I mean, Carl Mecklenburg. So we had a good crew.
Hey,
we had a good crew.
Pastor, you know, as a sports fan, every once in a while something happens where you don't have a dog in the fight, but you know exactly where you were when that happened. And I'm telling you, when the Broncos went down, and I think they just say it's the drive, right, against Cleveland, and Elway hit Vance Johnson, I think, in the end zone, and he was in the dog pound, and I was up in Minneapolis at my uncle's house, and I don't know why I remember sitting there watching this, because again, it wasn't the Packers, I didn't really have a dog in the fight, but I remember. And if my wife is listening, Pastor, she's going to say, you don't even remember your nieces and nephews' names, but you remember stuff like that, and that's what's up in my head. And sure enough, that's the kind of stuff that I remember. When you were growing up, did you watch NFL a lot? Were you like an NFL fan, or was that just where you wanted to get to?
Oh, yeah, I was a fan, for sure. I mean, it started with collected, you know, football cards, and then, you know, I love the game. You know, I watched all the time, and that's where my childhood dream came from. Is I was watching a game, the Jets versus the Minnesota Vikings. I remember telling my mom one day, "You're gonna see me out there,"
right?
And that's, you know, that's kind of where, you know, where it started.
Hey, and I
so
know
definitely
from,
a fan.
I know from last time that you're a baseball guy, right?
Play,
and that was kind of where, you know, I remember asking you, you played center field, could you go get it a little bit? You're like, oh, yeah, hit it anywhere near me, I'm going to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it was funny because I thought, man, a baseball guy who ended up going to a college, he'd never been to the state before, but he ended up going and they dropped baseball, so football was his deal. And my favorite part about the first time I interviewed you is you said, look, I was a receiver, and then all of a sudden they said, well, we've got some scholarships, but you got to play defensive back. You can play defense back. You got to play safety. Oh, I've played safety. I know safety. You know, I can go over there. And I loved it because wherever they needed you, you said, okay, if that's going to get me some help with this tuition, I can go over there and I'll excel over there. And you certainly did. Hey, do you remember the night before? And I don't know how you guys sleep the night before a Super Bowl, but do you remember that night being able to sleep at all, or are you kind of like bouncing off the walls?
Yeah, I vaguely remember the first time. The second time I remember more, but I vaguely remember the first time of, you know, just like you said, just, you know, nervous and, you know, just feelings just all over the place, you know, not being able to sleep, you know, thinking about, you know, the 50 million things that you have going through your head, trying to go through every scenario. So I do remember, like I said, I remember the second time a lot more than the first, because the first time I was, you know, I was a rookie and I was basically a special teamer.
Right.
So, you know, I'm on all the special teams. But the second time I went, I was a starter.
Man, oh, man. I'll tell you a quick story. The last state championship game that I coached in, which is a year and a half ago at a place called Martin Luther, first time in school history that they had a chance to win the state championship. And we're sitting there, and they we're waiting for a game. It's at the Kohl Center up at Wisconsin, and we're waiting for a game to get to a point where we can get in the locker room. And, you know, they have a roped-off area for our team, and all the players are, you know, sitting with their earbuds in listening to music. And we got a kid named Joey that can just shoot the ball, right? I mean, this kid can shoot it. And I'm sitting kind of, he's got to crawl over some people to get to me. And he said, hey, Coach, I got a question for you. I said, what's up? He said, Coach, when, you know, wherever we've been playing lately, the school band's always been playing that Neil Diamond song, you know, Sweet Caroline. I go, okay. He goes, listen, they're playing it right now. He said, so my question is, when they get to that point, bump, 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 he goes, Coach, watch, like all the white people in the old place get up and start bopping, and none of the brothers do. And I go, that's your question? He goes, yeah. I go, man, you understand we're going to go locker room 5 minutes to play for a state championship and the first one in school history. He goes, yeah, I'm just wondering, do you know why that is? I said, man, I have no idea. He said, okay, thanks, Coach. And I thought, that man, is. This young man is so calm and so collected. And the kid hit three or four threes in the state championship game. In fact, he led the state in threes that year, and he was so calm, Pastor, that he just was like, this is what he wanted to know 5 minutes before he went into the locker room to get dressed.
That's crazy.
Crazy, right? Absolutely
crazy.
And a great kid. You know what? And just a wonderful family. And he had man, right before we started practice our junior year, his father passed, and it was very sudden. And this was his best friend. And my dad died when I was younger, too, and so I had some conversations with him. And I agree with him. He thought that his dad was sitting on the bench next to me. And I said, so do I. Because every once in a while, when you'd miss two in a row, and I feel like pulling you out, something said, no, leave him in. He's going to hit a few. And I'd leave you in, and you'd go ahead and hit a few. So, you know, that calmness. Do you when you played football, especially in big games, Pastor, was it, you know, after that first hit, after, you know, if you're on the special teams, after the first time you get that first run and hit somebody, that all those butterflies go away then?
Yes, definitely. I mean, you, like you said, you're waiting for, you know, that first hit. You're hyped up, you know, you're just psyched. And, you know, it's nothing more, especially for a defensive guy, than to get that first hit. And once you get that first hit, you kind of calm down and you kind of get into the flow and realize, okay, now you're like, you know, now it's time to play.
Man. Hey, one thing we did not get into much last time I had you on, and I read this article about Darren Carrington and the family create a sports dynasty. How's your family doing, by the way? Everybody's good?
Yes, everybody's doing good. Yep, my daughter, she helps my wife coach. My son, he's still working out, you know, looking for another shot to get in. And then my youngest daughter, she's playing at Baylor.
Man, oh
right
man.
Now.
Do you miss those days like I do when they were in high school and you'd go watch them play?
Oh yeah, I was just thinking about that just the other day. You know, the memories that they were able to, you know, to give me of just seeing them, you know, all played, you know, in high school and even before that. Like, I enjoyed, you know, Pop Warner. And, you know, my wife and I, you know, we coached our girls. And then I actually coached my son from Mighty Might all the way through high school.
Wow.
So, you know, we were there kind of every step of the way.
You know what's funny? For Christmas, my son Matthew, who I coached in high school and the AAU circuit a little bit prior to that in grade school and stuff, he had all these, like, VHS tapes that people had given us, and he went and put them all on a disc. And the last week or so, I've gone to his house, and we've watched from fourth grade when we played down at Orlando in the Nationals and you know, right through high school. And he said, man, I sure didn't play a lot of defense. And I said, no, you did not. But, man, you were such a good point guard. We didn't have anybody else, especially in high school. What was I going to do with that? And he just laughed. Yeah. And he said, man, look at how bad of a free throw shooter I was. Well, he scored over 1,000 points in his high school career, so he hit some free throws. But
yeah,
these tapes,
exactly.
Man, it's so fun. Our special guest, he is Pastor Darren Carrington. He is a marriage pastor at Rock Church in Point Loma. It's near San Diego. Their website, sdrock.com. SanDiegoRock.com, and I can tell you that I've spent a lot of time on the website the last couple of days because they had a series in January of, it's called Reset, and it's 5 weeks of different things to do here in January, right? Let's reset, let's get this going, and I watched a number of those, and I would recommend SDRock.com. And if it'd be a great time for you to pick up a couple of those that Pastor Miles was preaching and get a feel for what he's talking about when it's time to reset. And with this show, Pastor Carrington and I are going to talk about a couple of things. For some reason, the last, I don't know, 5-6 weeks, the idea of Christian men discipling other men keeps coming up. And he's a guy that I want to talk to him about because he talked about Gil Bird a lot last time we had him on, and what this phenomenal NFL football player meant in his life. And we'll talk to Pastor Carrington about that on the other side. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen. Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, our special guest, Pastor Darren Carrington. He is with the Rock Church, Rock Church Point Loma, which is right out of San Diego. You can go to sdrock.com. How's Pastor Miles doing? He's doing pretty good?
Yeah, he's doing really well. Him and the church are doing great.
Man, it is. The church is getting bigger and bigger, is it not?
You know, it is. It's been amazing how God has been blessing us. You know,
amen.
Our online congregation is just, you know, growing. You know, our outdoor service has been sustained, you know, kind of, you know, where it is. But, yes, it's been a true, you know, miracle to see, you know, how our online church has grown. It's funny that our online pastor, he had all these goals and dreams of what he was trying to reach, you know, in you know, 2 or 3, 4 years, and he surpassed all of those this year.
Unbelievable. I can tell yeah. you, I, you know, the Lord is good, and I think people are looking, you know, that it's been, we've almost hit a year now with this pandemic, and it's been, I think people are searching a little bit more, and I think they're, because they've got more time in their hands, and I know that here in Wisconsin, I think we're probably opened up a little bit more than you are in California, so I'm able to go to Brookside Baptist every Sunday. I'm able to go into church and see our pastors and see the people, and then we have the online for people that would prefer to stay at home. As we talk about Rock Church, I can tell you what their mission is. It's our mission is to save, equip, and send. Has been our heart and soul since day one of the Rock Church. Hey, Pastor, when we talked about Gil Burt, and we talked about a couple other men that came into your life at different times in your life that really kind of helped you walk worthy and helped you figure out the direction, I just think it's important that we talk about that part of it, because I don't know, as men, we do that enough. And I'm wondering your feeling on Christian men discipling other men, how important that is?
You know, I think it's vital, and I feel like it's one of the factors that has causing society to be what it is in regards to whether it's marriage, whether it's, you know, dads being present, is because the family structure has broken down in so many places. So now these men are looking for this role model, for this figure, and they can't find them. So what do they have to do? They have to look to TV, they have to look to all these other options that they can see, but they don't really know the full detail. So that's why I feel, man, it is vital for Christian men to disciple not only other Christian men, but men in general.
You know, thank you for that, because I and I'm uncomfortable with it, Pastor, because I always feel like, you know, this is really important, and I don't want to screw this thing up. So I don't want to be too strong. I don't want to be the Bible thumper, but I don't want to just say, hey, you're kind of on your own on this thing and walk away. And how long into this were you more comfortable talking about that part of your life?
Well, you know, Mike, it's funny you asked that. It's one of the things I learned from my mentor. As he said, be a witness for Christ at all times, but use words when necessary. So whether I was speaking or not, I was being watched. I was, in a sense, discipling. And I've had guys, you know, come up to me, you know, I ran into them 10, 15 years down the road, and they would say things that, hey, man, you know what? I appreciate when you did X, Y, Z, and you know what? Now I see the importance of that, and now I have a family, I have kids, man, and I just want to say thank you. So, you know, it's important to know that you're being watched, and I think that the one thing that we also have to understand, Mike, is this is not a journey of perfection, right? I'm going to make mistakes, and when you let these young men know that, hey, I'm not perfect, and I'm going to make mistakes, but my goal is to point you to Jesus. And he's never going to let you down, and he's not going to make any mistakes. So that's where that difference comes.
Man, that I love that. And that's really important for guys like me to understand, because, you know, as a guy on the radio and as a guy that, you know, is 100% Irish, I talk all the time. And then all of a sudden I get tongue-tied. Like, you know what? It's okay. It's okay if I say, look, I don't know the answer to that, but let's figure it out together. Let me go find it and come back, rather than just going, ah, boy, I'm uncomfortable. I don't really know. And I think that as men, you know, and you said, look, not only do we need to disciple men that, you know, have already accepted Jesus Christ, but then guys that come up and ask you some questions, and they come up and want to know about things and want to know how, hey, you know, I played softball with you, McGivern, 30 years ago, and you were in the bar later than any of us. What? Mm-hmm. Hold on. Mm-hmm. What happened to you? What happened? And for me to explain that side of it, I get to a sticking point. Pastor, I get to a point where I go, okay, this is where it happened, and this is what's happened in my life. And then it's like, okay, wait, where are you at now? And when these guys go, I don't want to talk about that, I go, okay, well, how's the family? And so it's just kind of like uncomfortable, and I got to get over that. The head pastor, usually my co-host, is as good at this than anybody I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Pastor Darren, he just walks up and he just says, hey, let me tell you what's going on. Let me tell you the good news. Do you have a minute? Let me talk to you. And it's just really pretty amazing to see. Are you in a setting like that, out in a grocery store in a park, pretty comfortable with that?
Yes, I am. Because, and I feel like, and hopefully this takes the pressure off of you, because I know that it's not going to be me that's going to change somebody. It's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Right. So my whole role is to provide them the information to come to a decision to follow Christ.
Amen. You know that basketball team I told you about, Pastor, it was at a school called Greendale Martin Luther. And they asked me, I was the commencement speaker for the graduation, and I had a video of after we won the state championship, and the whole school was there, all the teachers were there, and we had our two guards were being interviewed. And I can tell you, and I told the faculty this at this speech, I said, look, you don't know. You know, you got to plant the seed, and Lord's going to water it, and you don't know if you've made a difference, and you don't know this, but I'm going to prove to you that you did. And I played this clip that was on TV of our guards who, when they came in 4 years earlier, Pastor, they would have never used these words. And the TV guy said, hey, Traquan, congratulations. Man, how you feeling? He said, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this kind of talent. Mm-hmm. Said, A7s, how you doing? He said, I want to thank God for these talents. And you could see that some of the teachers and faculty had tears coming down because I proved to them that what they did was working. And so I, you know, that kind of stuff, I'm pretty good at doing that, but it's that one-on-one stuff, Pastor Carrington, that I struggle a little bit with. I can tell you that. Hey, as a marriage counselor, I'm wondering, has COVID, like, upped how busy you are now? Because I've never spent so much time with my wife. And I think I'm doing okay, but I'm looking at her and I'm thinking maybe she might want to come talk to you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, you know, because, you know, couples, they hope and they pray that, man, I just want to spend more time together. And then the world shuts down and everybody is forced to spend more time together. But I think, you know, the thing about it is the issue was people try to keep the same thing, like keep the routine the same. And at some point, me and my wife, we did a little workshop, and we said at some point, you know, I explained to them what an audible was. And I said, at some point, we've got to yell out Omaha, like, hey,
right.
I know we had this plan here, but we've got to change things up. The main thing is going to stay the main thing, but the way we do things has to change. And I think once couples identify that, like, yeah, this is different, and yeah, we are around each other a lot. And if I say, hey, you know what, I just need some time, it doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means I just need some time for me.
Right.
You know, so as soon as people get, you know, I think as soon as couples got that and understood that, then I feel like, you know, things were a lot better.
Hey, can I ask, where did you and your wife, Vicki, meet?
We met in college.
You did. And did you know right away, Pastor?
Absolutely not.
No.
I had no dreams, no ambitions of ever being married, of ever having kids, nothing.
Because, you know, look, and I say this all the time, but you understand that you belong on this team of guys who all kick their coverage a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right? You, I mean, she's beautiful. You got a beautiful family. And
yeah.
I can tell you that reading the article that I was reading, I know that there's a near tragic event that just you guys are soon to be parents, and she had a fall, and certainly the Lord stepped in. I believe that. And everything was fine and healthy, but the baby was very premature, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. She's born at 24 and a half weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Yep.
That's a miracle baby right there.
100%.
Man, 100%. Hey, last question before we get to a break. And this just happened with a woman that I work with, Pastor, and I know that you know, her sister and brother-in-law are really searching. They had a 20-year-old that passed, and it was really just a freak accident. There was a truck that was in front of her on the freeway, and she went to go around the truck, and there was a 72-year-old man with dementia driving the wrong way and went and straight head-on, and this beautiful young gal passed, and it's only been a couple of days. I was at the funeral yesterday. But I've had a conversation a while back with my brother, who's a family counselor, and he said, look, that is the hardest thing that anybody will ever go through, because it's very natural for our parents to pass, but to have a child. and how hard it is for that couple to stay together because there's so much that happens the next couple of years. And I don't know what to say to the to these people. I just don't, because the sorrow is just so deep.
You know, I feel like sometimes we have to realize that there's nothing to say.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we always feel like we want to have just the right thing to say. And one of the worst things we can say, especially in a situation like that or any situation that we haven't experienced, is to say, "I know how you feel."
Right.
Right. That's absolutely the worst thing we can say. And sometimes you just got to, I mean, you hug them and you say, you know, "I'm praying for you. And, you know, if you need anything, you just let me know." And sometimes you just sit with them, and sometimes you just give them a hug and you cry with them. Right. It's not about what we say. It's what we do.
Amen to that. He is Pastor Darren Carrington. We're going to continue a little bit down kind of the marriage path. I got a few questions for him. We'll get back into Super Bowl, and we're going to get a prediction from Pastor Darren Carrington. Before the show's over, we'll find out who he thinks is going to win this game. And by the time this airs in the evening at 8 p.m. here in Milwaukee, we'll know if he was right or not. He is Pastor Darren Carrington. He is the marriage pastor at Rock Church in Point Loma. It's right out of San Diego, part of San Diego Rock. It's SDRock.com is the name of the church. And I can tell you that it is one of the fastest growing churches in the country. And COVID has not slowed it down. In fact, it's increased it. And they're doing really, really good work there. Again, their mission is to save, equip, and send. Has been our heart and soul since day one of Rock Church. Go to that website. I can tell you that the Reset, the five-week program that they have, if you watch the Reset part of it, there's five of them there for you to be able to click on and take a listen to. And if you don't get fired up after listening to Pastor Miles preach, man, you better check your pulse. You got to check your pulse, because he's on fire for the Lord, and makes a ton of sense when I sit and listen to him. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders. Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, our special guest. He's Darren Carrington. He is the marriage pastor, associate campus pastor at Rock Church in Point Loma, California. SDRock.com is their website. Hey, Pastor, I want to get back real quick to Gil Bird and to some of the men in your life. And you mentioned the first time that I had you on a few months ago that Gil Bird was just that guy, that he really helped you. And he was a heck of a football player. You know, anybody that's really a big NFL guy knows about Gil Bird and what a great player he was. And I'm wondering, what about his approach to you helped you on your journey?
You know, his approach was, it was doing life together, right? He taught me more, you know, and I don't say this in a, you know, I mean, we talked about the word, but the life example he gave was the value. Like, I saw the Bible through his life, right? So we didn't necessarily have to sit down and read the Bible. I saw his life through the Bible, and that's what I needed, because I had never seen that before, right? All of the pictures of men of God were inconsistent. I saw something at church, but I said saw something different outside the church. So seeing his life, that's how I kind of picked up that
discipleship role was. Like, I've discipled, you know, a number of guys, and I've told them, I said, hey, you know, they asked me, I said, you know, hey, could you disciple me? I said, yeah, what are you looking for? Well, I just need to see what it's supposed to look like to be a man of God, a husband, and a father. I said, okay, I can do that. I said, however, I don't necessarily have time right now in the season of my life, but here's where I'm going to be. I coach my son, so you can come to practice with me. If you want to come to the house, you can come to the house with me, and you can see how we do life. But I just don't have a lot of time for us to sit down one-on-one right now. But to see it happen, I would more than love you. I would invite you into my life and into my house. And I had a couple of men who took me up on it, and they came here, and they saw dirty dishes and dirty laundry, and I'm like, hey, if you have an issue with it, clean them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's how it went.
This is what life is. I can tell you that Pastor Darrell, when I went down to Eastside Baptist Church and fell on my knees, and he would come over to my house, and my wife would say, hey, you know, you're in the kitchen cracking jokes with this guy. And I said, yeah, he's funny. And she said, well, he is the head pastor. And I said, yeah, but he's a guy that he makes me laugh a little bit. And one day she came up to me and said, you know, the fact that you just talk to him like another man, like just guys talk, you know, and she said, I think that he enjoys that because I don't know if he gets that much. And I'm wondering for you, Pastor, when people know what you do or when you talk to people within the church that are just getting to know you, do you feel like they treat you a little different because, of, you know, your first real name is Pastor?
100%. Like, it even goes to when sometimes people apologize, you know, they don't know what to call me. Like, I don't know, Darren, are you D.C.? Like, Pastor Darren? Like, I said, it's fine, man. Like, you don't have to, you know, necessarily, you know, call me, you know, Pastor every time.
Right.
And people do feel, like, you do sense, you know, that where they feel a little bit uncomfortable. They don't know what to say. They think everything I'm going to say is, you know, praise the Lord. But I always tell them, and the thing that I encourage, you know, men of God to do is be normal. Just talk about life, because if Christ is in you, Christ is going to be evident in everything you say and do without you even having to talk about God. You're going to talk about God. So, you know, that's kind of the way I live life is I like to just, you know, be one of showing it, not just about, you know, preaching somebody and hitting them upside the head with the Bible. Although some need that, but yeah. That's not, you know, always the thing to do.
Well, I know sometimes you're talking to me. I can tell you that because there are certainly times that I do. Hey, Pastor, when we had you on the last time, and there are some people that are going to be listening this week that didn't catch that last time, can you talk a little bit about your testimony on where your walk began?
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, real quick, you know, I grew up, you know, in New York City in the Bronx, and I had this dream of becoming a professional athlete, thinking once my dream came true, you know, my life would be complete. And, you know, I went to small school, didn't get scholarships. I was blessed to be drafted in the NFL. Then my very first year, I went to the Super Bowl, and I had all the things that the world told me once I achieved all these things, my life would be complete, and I would need nothing. And after achieving all those things, I realized that there was still something missing. And I didn't know what that something was, but I knew that the money and the, quote, the little bit of fame and the stuff of the world wasn't filling me. And it was a two-year journey for me to realize and to come to the understanding of is that those things, I didn't achieve those things just for me, but they were for a bigger purpose. And the hole that I had in my heart was the hole of God saying, man, I love you, and I want a relationship with you. And when you're ready, I'm here. And that decision, you know, was made in 1992 through a relationship with another man of God where I saw his life. And when I saw his life and I saw the consistency, I knew that that's what was missing in my life. And that was in 1992. And I shortly thereafter, I got married, you know, to my wife. We had a child, you know, prior to wedlock, and then we had two more children, and we've been married for almost going on 28 years now. We've been dating for 34 years, married for almost 28 years, and it's been a blessing. And I now know that because I played a childhood game, I can now go anywhere and tell people about the love of God.
What a platform. And you are correct. Can I ask you, growing up in the Bronx, if I knew you when you were 12, 15 years old, and I said, look, after you get done with a really good NFL career, you're going to be a pastor at a big church in San Diego, what would you have said to me?
I probably wouldn't have said anything. I probably would have just ran away from him.
There's a crazy man right there. I got to get away from him. I got to get away.
I'd have ran away from you calling my mom.
Hey, do you get back to New York very often?
You know, I don't. I mean, just every couple of years, I don't get back there as often because my mom, she's in Atlanta now. So
Okay. Typically
when I go back, you know, I'll go see her in Atlanta. But I still have, you know, some cousins that's still in New York City, in the Bronx.
You know, I've been to a lot of places, and this is going to make you laugh. I've been to upstate New York. I've never been to New York City, and I've never stepped foot in California.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
You haven't lived life, man.
Mac, have you ever been to Milwaukee? No, I'm just kidding, Pastor. I am just kidding. You know what? I would love to step foot in California. I'm going to do that soon because it just is a beautiful state. I know there's some issues going on, and they're thinking about recalling the governor and all that stuff. But man, it's just so beautiful, right?
It is. It is. I mean, you know, yesterday or a day or two ago, I mean, I had on a T-shirt, right? And you know, I know you were talking about how this, you know, continue lockdowns, like everything is locked down. They're loosening up now, but, you know, Wisconsin, you guys' weather has you guys locked down. Like here, we don't have nothing to do, but we can go outside.
Yeah.
In the sunshine.
Well, we got the biggest snowstorm this last week than we've had in 10 years. And it was just about a foot of snow. And, you know, it's pretty for a little bit, but boy, I'll tell you what, it gets to be a pain. You can't really go anyplace. And our church was actually canceled on Sunday because we had a winter storm warning for the entire day. And it does make me feel, you know, I remember days like this when I was a kid. I didn't have a snowblower. My dad would say, get the shovel and get out there and shovel it. Now with the snowblower, I'm helping all the neighbors, and it's something else. You don't miss that snow at all, do you?
You know what? I don't. I mean, if I want to see the snow, I can go an hour to 2 hours up the mountain, and I can see all the snow I want. But you know, with me, just watching it on the news is that's enough for me. I'm good to go.
Hey.
And people say, "Hey, man, don't you miss the seasons?" And I say, you know what? 75 and sunny is good for me.
That works.
I don't miss anything.
That works for you. Well, you know, look, New York's just getting rocked this week with snow, and it's funny because, Pastor, you watch all the national news, and they didn't mention that Milwaukee and Chicago got rocked, but boy, New York at 6 inches, it stops everything on the news, and they keep talking about it. But here we got, you know, 11, 12 inches and not a mention because they know we can handle it. We're either complete idiots or we're tough as heck here in Wisconsin.
They expect you guys to handle that. Yeah. You know, that's where my coldest NFL game was. We played the Packers. It wasn't at Lambeau. It was at the other stadium that they play in. They used to play in
Milwaukee County Stadium.
Yep. We played there. It was minus 28.
Oh, man. You know what? I live about 10 minutes from where that was. And I used to go to some Packer games over at County Stadium. It was a horrible place to watch a game. It was just a horrible place. And Lambeau is great. But I at this point, I'm not sitting outside minus 28. I'm not doing it. There's no chance. Hey, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, Pastor Darren Carrington. Again, he's played in 2 Super Bowls. And he played in the NFL a long time. In fact, I looked at some of his numbers, and I'll tell you what, 22 interceptions. Hey, you returned one, I think, for a touchdown. Who was that against? Do you remember?
The Seattle Seahawks in the Kingdom.
Oh, man. You just didn't want to get tackled on that turf. That's why you returned it the whole way, man, because that was not good. He is Pastor Darren Carrington again, SDRock.com. And we're going to find out who he thinks is going to win the Super Bowl. And man, I wish he'd be able to say the Packers, but he's not going to be able to give me that answer. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, Pastor Darren Carrington, and I just thank him. You know, again, on this show, to wait 3 months and try to get a guy back, you know, I just appreciate his willingness to do this again. And I wanted to talk about the marriage side of it with COVID, and we got a little of that in. And I wanted to talk about the discipleship that we as Christian men, we really need to do this more. And I thought he had some great things for us as we, you know, guys like me kind of struggle with some of that. And I appreciate his willingness to allow me to talk about it. Hey, Pastor, if you're going to watch this game today, who are you thinking? Who are you leaning towards? You a Kansas City guy, Tampa Bay guy?
I mean, so the story, it'd make a great story, right, for the GOAT to, you know, win it, you know, after all this time and go to a new team. But I just feel like the Chiefs got a little bit too much, man, and I'm thinking Chiefs.
Yeah,
I'm thinking Chiefs. I'm thinking 41. Ooh. I'm thinking 41-31 Chiefs.
Wow. Hey, so what we do as a family, pastors, I have a son and a daughter, and they both have spouses, and I have four grandsons. One's a year and a half, so he doesn't get too involved yet with this. But they all come over, and my wife and I either get pizzas or sloppy joes or whatever it is. And I do a 20 questionnaire, and I put a $20 bill out, and everybody has to come in the kitchen by themselves, and it's things like, you know, the exact time of kickoff, who's going to win the coin flip, color of the Gatorade, all of that kind of stuff. The first cheerleaders they're going to show, first score. After the first score, the first commercial, what category is that going to be? And it keeps everybody engaged. And my daughter, yeah. My daughter Katie, never wants to do it, and she wins the 20 every year, Pastor. For somehow, some way, in fact, the game when it was Atlanta and Tampa, where everybody left my house middle of the third quarter because they were like, "This game's over." My daughter said, "Dad, there's no chance I'm going to win. I've got New England. I've got Tom Brady as the MVP." And all of a sudden, my phone starts ringing. It's my daughter. Okay, where am I at? I'm like, man, you left. You got to be here to win the 20. She's like, no, I want that 20 because I think I'm going to win it. So we have a lot of fun with that, and it's just all these stupid questions that I put together that now everybody's like, no, that was a talking animal. And I'm like, no, that wasn't. That was not. That was a cartoon character. So there's arguments, Pastor, and we have a lot of fun with it.
So what? It's whoever gets the most.
Yep, whoever gets the most points, and it's questions that you can't figure out, you can't find, you know, on a website, stuff like that. So it is the second commercial after the first punt. What, you know, the first score, is it going to be a field goal or a touchdown or something else, and who's going to score it? And then the last question is always who's going to win and who's the MVP.
Yep.
And man, it goes down to the wire, but it seems like my daughter Katie seems to win that stuff more than most. Hey, we just got a couple more minutes. How do you think it is to be able to play NFL games in front of no fans? That would be really difficult, I think.
Yeah, you know, it would be very difficult because, you know, you're so accustomed to it, and especially if you went to, you know, a big school, but even a smaller school, you're accustomed to playing in front of people. And I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of energy that comes from 50, 60,000 fans.
Right.
Right. You know, people can say, oh, it doesn't matter. It's all about the game. Nonsense. It matters. When there's fans there, there's energy there, and, you know, it really can change things. You know, the offense, you know, especially if it's on the road, you know, the offense, like, they can't hear, they can't communicate as well as they can in a quiet stadium. So, yeah, 100%. It's a big difference.
Hey, your favorite team now, do you follow a team? Do you just watch NFL football, or is there a team that you like to follow a little bit?
You know, I mean, I don't really follow a team. I just kind of watch a little bit of everybody. You know, typically I won't even sit down and watch, you know, a whole game. You know, I'm an ESPN guy. Just give me what I need to know and I'm good. You know, so that's my thing. Like if it's one of my kids playing, like that's my team. So I'm into, you know, college women's basketball. Like I watch all the games of college women's basketball because my daughter's in there. But other than that, no.
And she's playing at Baylor, correct?
Yeah.
And I should know this, Pastor. How are they doing this year?
They're doing good. They're number nine. A couple of teams lost, so I don't know if they'll move up in the rankings. But you know, they had a good win yesterday. You know, so yeah, I think it's wide open this year.
I tell you that
wide open.
That Baylor women's basketball program is one of the best programs in the country.
It is. It is. Matter of fact, the last national championship, which was 2 years ago, they won it.
Right. Does she get a lot of time on that team?
Yep.
Man.
She does.
Good for her. Mm-hmm. Man, good for her. That's big time basketball right there. You know, everybody wants, you know, you're going to start with this program or that program, UConn and Notre Dame, but Baylor is right in there with those two, I think.
Yeah. I mean, well, she graduated from Stanford and she had a year of eligibility left. So she played at Stanford and then she, took a show on the road and went to Baylor.
Man, that's well good, man. Good for her. You got to enjoy every minute of that, Pastor. All of it. He is Pastor Darren Carrington, and I'm going to remind people: Kansas City 41, Tampa Bay 31 is what he's thinking, and I think he might be pretty close. I think that quarterback from Kansas City is going to be tough to beat in this game. That's for sure. Pastor, thank you so much again. SDRock.com, and go and look if you get a chance. Go watch that series that Pastor Miles put on Reset. There's five of them, and the series is most people. And this is what it says: most people associate a new year with new beginnings. Heading into 2021, there is much more hope that this year will be different than the last. And he talks about, look, there's some things you can do to reset. Reset your discipline. Reset the time that you spend in the Word. Rest and priority reset, and it's just a really good series. SDRock.com. Pastor Darren Carrington, thank you so much, sir, and I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, and Mike, if there are specific needs, they can go to SDRock.com/marriage for marital type thing. So that's available as well.
Boy, you know what? And you may want to write that down. And if you're driving, if you want to, have my number or get a hold of me at the station again, SDRock.com. /marriage, and there's some good stuff on there, and this is the man that, boy, he's a marriage pastor, and this, again, with COVID, I'm sure he's as busy as can get. Darren, thanks a lot, sir, and have a good day.
You as well. Thank you, man.
You guys, Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 a.m., The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Jesus. When Moses had stage fright and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.